Good to hear the choir again this morning as well. And we thank God for being able to be here. Thank you for coming this morning, everybody that's here. Just a couple of prayer requests this morning, a couple of things we want to touch on, and we'll get into the scripture. We're going to be reading in Psalms chapter number 91. I want you to continue to pray for Brother Cecil Knowles. He's still going through some things. Let's pray for him, that God would touch him, work in his life. You know, I miss people that aren't here. I look around, and this morning I'm thinking, I'm glad to see everybody that's here. But a lot of you know, we haven't seen some folks in a while. I'm looking forward to being able to see them again. Some folks just aren't feeling good right now. Some folks are going through stuff, and folks, it's not all COVID. Everybody that's not here doesn't have COVID, so don't think that. Some people have some pre-existing conditions and things that are pre-existing enough that they're just fighting through those. So let's remember them. Let's continue to pray for Brother Cecil Knowles. Let's pray for Brother Tom Payne. He's still going through some tests. Brother Tom's doing better in some capacities, but he's still got some things he's going through. And we miss seeing him at church. Miss Celebrate Recovery Ministry as well. Let's remember Brother Terry Hayes. Terry Hayes, my friend. I love him. I miss him. Miss being in church with him. Pray for him. He's fighting some battles of his own. God knows what those are. Let's remember Miss Jessie Long. Jessie Long, she's going through some things as well, and God knows what her needs are. Let's remember Miss Donna Hansen. She's been going through quite a few things. I mean, she had a situation to where some of her family that was living within her household had tested positive. She quarantined for that, and then she went through some sicknesses of her own, and right now she's not well at all. She tested negative for COVID, but she's still not feeling well. So let's pray for her. We miss being able to see her. Hadn't seen her at church in several weeks. So let's pray for her. Let's continue to pray for the Bookout family. Pray for Nicole and for Emma and for Evan and their family. And I want to say thank you, church, for the outreach of love that you saw. If any of you were there on Wednesday or Thursday, it's easy to see the impact that Brother West had on his community. You know, Brother West was 48 years old, and, you know, I think about West as a brother. Now, I don't even think, you say, well, brother from another mother. Well, let me tell you, it's a brother from one Heavenly Father, amen? And I felt a connection with him. He was my friend. I love him, and we are going to miss him. But you know what? It's kind of like when he used to tell me, and I said this the other day, about Kohutta, which is, some of you know where it's at. It's a place up in the mountains, and it's wilderness. And he would go up there with Evan, and what I understood about Wes is he didn't really care if he saw a deer, shot a deer, or a bear, or anything. He just wanted to go sit around a fire, cook, and have a good time, make bows and arrows for his little boy, teach him how to make homemade tomahawks, and just sit there and smile at the world. And when he told me about it, I thought, I want to go too. Yeah. But you know, right now, he's just gone to a place that I want to go to, but not yet. And next time I see him, it'll be just like it's tomorrow. You ever thought about how life goes by? You know, I looked at my daughter when she was here at Christmas, and I told everybody she's going to be 30 her birthday. And then it hit me. Where did that come from? My grandson that was born yesterday is about to turn 11 years old. Let me tell you something, folks. We're going to be seeing Jesus soon, and we'll see our loved ones. But, folks, in the meantime, what you going to do in the meantime? I'll tell you what you do. Pray for this family. Love one another. Forgive one another. Give a little bit more and understand that life is too short and you don't have enough to go through life with a melly grubs, bitter and mean. Amen. Now saying that, I want you to mention one more thing to you this morning. Folks, I got a call this morning. I was standing out here and I left my work phone. I got two phones I carry, and sometimes at work they all three, I got three that ring at one time. Okay, I can't. But I had a phone ringing in the truck. They couldn't reach me, and they called my son. Guy that I worked with yesterday fell in his kitchen last night. He was 41 years old, and they could not revive him. And he's gone out into eternity. His name was Josh Brown. We'd like for you to pray for his family and pray for his wife. You know, we just don't ever know. And I talked to this guy on Friday, and there was absolutely, to my knowledge, nothing whatsoever wrong with him. He was not sick, nothing. But we just don't know. That's why we need to take advantage of every day that we have and live them for the honor and glory of God. I want to say this morning, thank you if you served. Thank you for those that have served this week. Thank you for those that serve every Sunday. serve up in the sound booth. They serve out in children's church. They serve in the nursery. For those, you know, every Sunday after we have service, and I want to say this, and this might make you feel a little bit better. We have some people that are servants in this church that come through this entire sanctuary, and they spray every bench with a disinfectant and a germ killer. We wipe off every door handle, and we spray in every bathroom before we leave. They take temperatures, and we do this, obviously trying to do everything that we can. Folks, those are servants. You know, I mentioned the other day, a deacon is a servant. Can I tell you, a pastor that understands what his job is, he's a servant. He's not a dictator, and he shouldn't be dogmatic and a demagogue. He should be a servant. We're all servants, and I want to say thank you for serving. I want to also say thank you for giving. Okay, your giving to the church enables the church to go on. And let me tell you, we need to go on for the honor and glory of God. Brother Allen mentioned it earlier, and Allen, I appreciate you mentioning it. We need to have a vision for the things of God. Now, let me tell you something. Do you get discouraged sometimes? Well, sure you do. I get discouraged when I look around, and I know that back about this time last year, this church was running so full that we couldn't get everybody in the sanctuary. Children's church was so full that they asked for a bigger room. We had events planned for the entire year, and we were looking so forward to it. And now we look around, and there are people that I have not seen since last March. Yes, sometimes I get discouraged, but this is what I want you to understand. God's not surprised by any of it. His hand's not shortened, His arm's not short, and God has a plan. And if we would just stay faithful and serve God, then God's will's going to be carried out. But in the meantime, we got to keep doing the things that we're supposed to do. So I want to thank you for your giving. Thank you for giving to the church. You can give by going online to the account. You can give through PayPal. You can give by sending into the P.O. box. And you can give as you go out the door. We just hadn't passed the offering plate in about a year. He said, well, they quit taking up money. No, we still want your money. So please keep sending it. All right, if you got your Bible, let's go to Psalms chapter number 91. What I've got on my heart this morning is something that I just began to think about this week. And I want to read this chapter. It's just 16 verses. But I want to talk this morning about the secret place. There are some songs, several songs that were sung this morning that go right along with this. I want to tell you something. As a Christian, you understand what it means and how important it is. As an individual, just you being able to get into the presence of God. To be able to talk to God, to commune with God, and have a personal relationship with God. Let's read this scripture. It says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress and my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flieth by day, nor of the pestilence that walketh in the darkness, nor of the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand. But it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, and neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, and the young lion and the dragon shall trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, and therefore will I deliver him, and I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Let's go back and read the first verse again. It says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, if you notice in this verse, it says dwelleth. That doesn't mean you visit or you occasionally decide to go there. But it's something that's important to you. It's something that's a part of your life. And it's something that you're very, very familiar with. And as I begin to look at this verse also, it says the secret place. And you say, well, if it's a secret, what do you mean by it's a secret? Here's what I want you to see. It's between you and Him. And it's not that it's a secret that no one else can know about, but it's like this. The Bible tells us that every man shall work out his own salvation with fear and with trembling. You ever thought about how big God is and how great God is? And I was talking recently to one of the brothers, and we was talking about sometimes the way our mind perceives and understands God. You ever thought about how can God actually be able to have a personal relationship independently, individually, with every person in the congregation, with every Christian that believes in Him? And when our heart is actually broken and poured out with Him, here's what I want you to understand. God has you have God's undivided attention. You say, well, how can that be with all these other people praying? But here's the problem that we have. We're trying to understand it with a limited and a finite mind. But when you dwell in the secret place, not only do you have God's undivided attention, but He has your undivided attention. And sometimes what we need to understand is when we get to the place, and it's like opening the scripture and reading something from God's word because you need it, because you need encouragement, because you need strength, because you need God to speak to you. And as you read it with a mind and a heart that's not, I need to check the box. It's not that I need to get this done today, but you're like David when he opened the book and he said, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. It's when you really need something from God and you're looking for something from God, knowing that you know Him, and you need to come to Him in such a way that you feel His presence very, very closely. You see, the secret place is the place of intimate fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ between you and Him. Now, folks, I believe in corporate worship. What do you mean by that? I believe in coming to church. I believe coming to church is important, and I'll tell you why it's important. It's important because you and I need to encourage one another. I could go through the list. Now, this is not what the message is about. We're going to get back on track. Corporate worship's important. Coming in, you say, well, hearing singing or even singing or taking part or giving or serving, whatever those things are important. And there is a verse of scripture for that. I heard somebody recently, they made the comment to me, and they said, well, nowhere in the Bible does it say you're supposed to go to church. Well, they obviously don't know their Bible. Because the Bible says, "The forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Now, what are they talking about? They're talking about assembling to worship, and especially as you get closer to the coming of the Lord. Can we not agree as Christians that we're getting close? We see signs all around us. We see things going on. If for nothing else, come for your children. Come for your grandchildren. They got a battle in front of them. But I want to tell you about something else. What about just you and God? What about when you're driving to work in the morning, you're sitting in the car? What about when you're in that traffic? What about when you're at work and that phone rings? Do you ever look at the number? Have you ever looked at the number that flashes up on the phone and it be somebody that you don't want to talk to and you know, I'll just be honest and tell you where I'm at with that. I pray, God help me. God give me the words. The Bible says in one place to pray without ceasing. Well, how do you do that? If God is a part of your everyday life and He's a part of everything that you do, the Bible says, and it teaches us not to do anything and expect it to prosper without God. I can remember one time I was on a job site, and this is even before I met my wife, and yes, I was saved at 12. I surrendered at 18. And this was about that time that I had surrendered completely to God, and I grew up learning this statement. And I remember my dad used to say this, and there is a verse in the book of James that goes right along with this, that when you would say something, my dad used to say, well, if it's the Lord's will. Y'all heard people say that? Yeah. You know, you going to work in the morning? Lord willing. That's the way that we said it in the country. You know, you going on vacation this year? Lord willing. You going fishing? Well, Lord willing. I remember I said something like, you know, a boy asked me something, and I said, well, Lord willing. He just looked at me, huh? He asked me something else, let alone in a day, and I said, well, Lord willing. He finally did this. He said, can't you do anything and leave God out of it? I said, how can you do anything and leave God out of it and expect it to prosper? If you understand this scripture, the secret place being a place, obviously you have God's undivided attention, and you got to understand who God is to be able to believe that. But God needs your undivided attention sometimes. He needs you to come to Him in such a way, going into the very presence of God, that you're seeking Him and you're seeking something from Him, and it's a place for you and Him alone. You know, sometimes we do things that are wrong. Sometimes we have to ask for forgiveness of others. Sometimes we have to say, I'm sorry. And I've even seen people come down in my lifetime. You don't see this much anymore, but they would make acknowledgments to the church. Anybody ever, y'all ever seen any of that? I've seen some of that in my lifetime. But I want to tell you something. Even when David sinned against God, David got to the place in his life that he desired the intimate relationship with God back more than he desired anything else. He wanted to feel that closeness and that presence of God. And he said, Lord, against you and you only have I sinned. He knew he had hurt others. But what broke David's heart is David had lost the peace with God. And restore, he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Now here's the thing about being a Christian. I'm a Christian. On good days, I'm a Christian on bad days. And I've thought about this. There are times that I come down here on Sunday morning, and by the time I get here, and I've had a few trips like this, I make that, you know, if I'm staying over in Alabama, I got that hour and a half drive, and some things happen on the road sometimes. And sometimes I get here and I say, Lord, I don't feel like much of a preacher. He said, you are anyway. Can I tell you, preachers are not preachers because they're better than you or they know more than you. Preachers who are preachers according to what I understand in the Word of God, they're preachers because God called them. And I want to remind you, if you're saved by the grace of God, you're still supposed to be a Christian even on the days when you've done your worst. He's still your God. And there are times that we come before Him. He knows, the Bible says in the 103rd Psalm, He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are but dust. But living in this world and living in this body and living in this flesh and living into 2021, a Christian that does not have a close personal relationship with God is going to have more struggles than they can get by with. You see, corporate worship's important. It's important to be in church on Sunday. And I believe in Sunday school. And I like Bible school. And I like Awana. And I like children's church. And I'm looking forward to a wild game banquet. But I want to tell you something, folks. I need to talk to God every day. Every day. When I get up in the morning, it's good morning, Lord. When I lay my head down at night on the pillow and I'm struggling or I'm hurting and, you know, I'm dealing with the stresses of the day, it's, help me, Lord. When the phone rings and it's a number that I don't want to answer and I know I have to, I say, give me the words, Lord. On my wall at work, I have some verses out of the book of Proverbs and I've had them written on the wall for 30 years. You think I could retire by now? I'm not in the military. It says, apples of gold. Words fitly spoken are like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. And it reminds me that I'm His even in the bad times. And here's something I want you to understand as you have this intimate relationship with God, this secret place. When you're in this secret place, you do not have to pretend. Have you ever felt like as a Christian, sometimes you have to pretend? Even when we come to church on Sunday morning, we might feel like we need to pretend so that people don't know what we're going through. People don't know how we're hurting. People don't know what we've dealt with. Or people don't know what we've done wrong. But when you have an intimate relationship with God, the kind that I'm talking about, and you come before Him and you have this relationship with Him, you don't have to pretend. He already knows. And here's the thing I understand about God and knowing who God is He already knows what's in our hearts. And here's what I want every person to understand. I wish the whole world could get all of this. Because right now Christians are absolutely being judged. And all we're trying to do is get people to accept a relationship with a God that died for them. Lest they die and end this life and step out into eternity lost. When I come before the Lord on my worst day, when I've had my worst drive, or I've had my worst situation at work, or my wife and I have had one of those discussions, I come before God. I don't have to pretend because He already knows. But you got to have that kind of relationship with Him. You see, the thing about this kind of relationship with God is I don't just go to God when I need something. I don't just go to God when things have gone wrong and I've made a mess and I'm needing to be bailed out one more time. Because I go to God on my very best day. I go to God when He pours out blessings on me. Sometimes, and I was talking to Brother Ted yesterday, and I said the same thing to a lady at work on Friday. Sometimes I don't know why God chose me to bless me the way He did. But some people, God's blessed them and they don't even see it. But I don't know why God chose to bless me. I got good days, I got bad days. But you know what I do on the good days? I say, thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you for giving me the strength. Have you ever tried to do something and said, thank you, God, for giving me the ability? Thank you, God, for giving me the intellect. Thank you, God, for letting me be able to do the things that I've done. See, if you do that on the good days, it makes it a whole lot easier to go to God on the bad days and say, Lord, forgive me, I've failed. God, forgive me for what I've said. God, forgive me for not considering you and your will before I made that decision. Now, when I look at this scripture, and I love this psalm, I want us to see some things and consider some blessings and understand what those blessings are that are ours, that are a benefit of an intimate fellowship with God. Number one, if we look at verse number 2, I want you to see the protection of being in the hand of God. It says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. And He shall cover thee with His feathers. And under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. You know, sometimes I tell folks, and I'm kind of from that generation, you know, of I can do anything and I'm afraid of nothing. Well, you all look at me and you all say, well, you're old and you know, you don't look too strong. It's all up here. Okay? And it's here. But as I say that, and I know all of you men and some of you ladies have the same mindset, I want you to also understand this. There are times that I come before the Lord and I need Him. And He reaches out just like a mother hen would with the feathers. And He pulls me right in. And He holds me. And He comforts me with His presence and with His Holy Spirit. Because the truth is, no matter how big or how strong or how great you are, sometimes in this world we feel overwhelmed. So he gives me protection. He is my refuge. He is my fortress. And I want you to see, if you look at verse number 13, he gives us promises. He says, you're going to tread on the lion and the adder and the young lion and the dragon. Shalt thou trample under feet. Now you look at that and you say, well, what does that mean? Here's what I want us to understand as Christians. God's not going to send us on a journey that he won't walk with us on. When we go through life, and it could be even for the young people over here that are trying to finish high school, or trying to decide what career they're going to have in college, or trying to start a new job. That's always fun, isn't it? Trying to work with a new boss, trying to go down a new path or a new venture in life. As a Christian, when we walk, we do not walk alone. And if I believe that, and I believe in the promises of God, I believe that if I'm walking with him, he is walking with me. Doesn't the scripture say in the book of James that if we will draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to us? I saw at a men's conference, a pastor gave the illustration, and he had somebody stand on this side of the room, and he stood on this side of the room, and he showed what it meant. He said, every time I take a step, you take a step toward me. You know, if we draw nigh to God, he draws nigh to us. I want to flip over and read one verse. This is in John chapter 14 and verse number 23. It says, and Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. You know, I grew up, and I talk about my dad sometimes, but I grew up watching my dad. My dad had the kind of relationship with God that I wanted. I saw my dad go through things in life. I saw him two different times because of events that were absolutely out of his control, lose everything that he had. I saw my dad suffer through the loss of his dad at a young age, and I saw my dad lose everything one time because I had a 3-year-old little sister that died with cancer. See, he grew up in a generation, you know, we think it's amazing today, but he had 5 children, and they were all born, and he paid for them out of his pocket. Never had health insurance, never made a lot of money, but I've never seen anybody serve God with as much joy as he had. I went to work with him, and I watched him work in the heat, and I watched him work in the snow, and I will tell you, the testimony that he had was so strong in relationship with God, it was like this. If anybody said anything about my dad, I was ready to fight. By the way, I wasn't as holy as he was, okay? But what I saw in him are the things that I'm speaking to you about in this scripture today. He had that walk with God. Sometimes we think, you know, if I walk with God, everything in my life is going to be perfect. And I'm going to have the perfect job. And I'm going to have all the money. I'm never going to have any heartache. I'm never going to have any pain. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about a personal relationship with a Savior that's with you in every avenue of life. And when you face those things, you face them walking with him, knowing that he is God, even when we don't understand. There was protection, there are promises, and there's promotion. What's the greatest thing you could inherit? Luke was telling me the other day, he smiled, he said, Dad, the lottery's almost $1 billion. And I said, wouldn't that be nice? What's the greatest heritage you can give your kids? What's the greatest heritage? I made a comment to somebody, and I mean this. Boys, I don't get any ideas. It's just talk, okay? It's just preaching. But I said, I'd love to be able to buy all of my kids a house, to buy them cars, you know, set them up for life. But is that the right thing to do? They're already spoiled rotten. You know what's better? is if I had the heritage, that they had the heritage, that they could say, my dad was a Christian. The way that my dad lived Monday through Saturday was the same way that he preached on Sunday. And when I stand here before you today and I mention my dad, I want you to understand something. My daddy was a better man at home. He could not have preached on Sunday the way he lived. And it's impossible for me as I even stand here to think I'm that good. I mentioned at Wes's funeral, Miss Nicole, and I meant it. Sometimes I felt like Wes was a better man than I was, because he had such a giving heart. And he always smiled. Sometimes people look at me and they ask Kendra, what's wrong with him? He needs to pray. But do you know, here's the thing about promotion. God can bless you in this life. But the greatest thing you can leave behind is a testimony that you know God. That's the greatest thing that you can leave your children and your loved ones. But if you understand what's written in the Word of God, what about Job and all the trials of Job? Do you know that the Bible says that the latter end of Job, he had twice as much as he had in the beginning? But if you count the children that Job had, you can say, well, he didn't have twice as many children as he had to start with. What you don't understand, here's very important. Those children that Job had that died, they were still his children. They were just in heaven. And I heard the Primitive Quartet, and they got some good songs, but there's a saying that says this, our children, our loved ones are not lost if we know where they are. David spoke of his son, and he said, I can't bring him back, but I can go and be with him. And when, you know, when you read the Old Testament, you read about David, and you read about those kings and those prophets, you see it over and over again that they would say, I go the way of all the earth. They knew they were going like Enoch to walk with God. You see, God will and He can bless you here, but He's going to bless us in eternity. I don't have time this morning, but I want you to understand something. Faithfulness to God comes with rewards. If you serve God and you're a servant and you serve God here, I believe the Bible teaches that you will have rewards in heaven. There are some people that are saved and everything that they do, they want a reward right here. They want their glory. They even want God's glory. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about this kind of relationship with God that is between you and Him. And when people fall in love with Jesus, what they will do for Him. Look at verse number 15. Another benefit you get is prayer is answered. Says, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble and I will deliver him and honor him. You see, sometimes we think that, well, if what we want is not what we get, then prayer isn't answered. Sometimes what God does is he comes right where we are and he just covers us with his feathers. And what we have to walk through, he walks through it with us. And he stands with us. And he comforts us. There's a song I was listening to this past week. It's an old song. It says, I thank God for unanswered prayers. Here's what I want you to understand as I stand here before you today. And I know you know this too. I don't have enough knowledge and understanding to make a decision about every prayer in my life or your life or even sometimes the things that I ask God for. I don't. Have I ever questioned God? Well, sure I have. But I can tell you this much, because I want to and I have dwelt in this secret place. There's been times that God may not give me what I asked for, but I didn't feel like He left me. Because the relationship that I have with Him, it's like He comes especially during those times and He wraps that grace around me and lets me know that although you don't understand, I hadn't left. And then verse 16. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. You know, this life, I don't care if we live to be 2 times 45, 5, 105, 55, 16. It's not long. It's short. But the promises of God are that we will dwell eternally in the presence of the Lord. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll come again to receive you unto myself. Where I am, there you may be also. As I began to think about this scripture, and I thought about this song, and I just want to read you a couple of stanzas from it, and we're going to have them get a song. The name of the song is No, Not One. It says, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else could heal all our soul's diseases. No, not one. No, not one. No friend like him is so high and lowly. No, not one. No, not one. And yet, no friend is so meek and lowly. No, not one. No, not one. There's not an hour that he is not near us. No night so dark that his love can't cheer us. Did ever saint find his friend forsake him, or sinner find that he would not take him? Was there a gift like the Savior given? Will he refuse us a home in heaven? No, not one. No, not one. Says Jesus knows all about our troubles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. You know, I've had people say they were my friends and they tried to give me things that in reality weren't good for me. Bible says, choose a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That's Jesus. He's our friend. I ask you if you would, if you'd rise to your feet as they play a song. If you're here this morning and you just need some encouragement from the Lord, you need to talk to God. That's why we have an altar time in the church. Of course, the altars are always open. I believe in using the altar, and I believe in praying. If you're here this morning and you'd like to pray, the altar's open for you to be able to talk to God. Would you go ahead?